Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. And we welcome you to Talking.Golf. Rob Hernandez alongside Gary D'Amato, who has just returned to the Caledonia headquarters after traversing his way back from Augusta, Georgia. Hence the slight delay in our recording of Talking.Golf this week, but we wanted to get Gary back in the friendly confines because, Gary, we've got a lot to talk about. I mean, you've covered, 31 Masters now? Is that right?
Yeah, 31, Rob. Hard to believe.
And this one, you know, we had a great finish. We had a great champion, Scottie Scheffler. We'll talk about him in a minute. But the number of local stories that you produced out of the Masters this year was just mind-boggling, including one today, and maybe we'll start there and work backwards. It just goes to show you how, chaotic, major championships, even at the senior level, can be. I had no idea that Fred Ridley was even in Stevens Point last summer. And yeah. Maybe you pointed him out to me, but it was if you did, it was a blur. But
no, I didn't know he was there either. I had no idea.
And let alone, driving up and down from O'Hare Field in Chicago. And you wrote a great story about John Eckendorf and Scott Krieger, who are a couple of, I guess you call them volunteers, for lack of a better phrase as it relates to the story, but those of us who grew up in central Wisconsin and know Scott Krieger as a legendary radio voice, especially UW-Stevens Point play-by-play, he's an icon up there. And the two of them, by basically following Fred down to O'Hare Field to get his courtesy car to bring it back to Stevens Point, scored themselves Masters tickets for 2 days out of the tournament. That might be the best ever way to score a Masters ticket I've ever heard of.
You know, Rob, and the weird thing was, it's even weirder how I came across the story, and I don't think I told you this because we didn't have a chance to talk much, but on Friday morning, I was walking down, early in the morning, walking down to Amen Corner to look around and went into a concession stand to get a soda. And I'm walking in with an older gentleman. You know, we're walking in together, but, just side by side, but I didn't know him. And this young man, one of the volunteers at the concession area, looked at my Wisconsin.Golf cap and shirt. I was wearing both and said, "Oh, are you from Wisconsin?" And I said, "Yeah." And just as I said, "Yeah," the guy walking in next to me looks at me and goes, "Gary D'Amato?" And I looked at him. I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I'm John Eckendorf. I read you guys all the time. I'm from Stevens." So if I wouldn't have been walking in the concession stand and if that kid wouldn't have said, "Are you from Wisconsin?" I never would have gotten that story. It's just really, really weird how it, yeah. But, yeah, really cool story about two guys who volunteered to go get Fred Ridley's courtesy car and bring it back to Stevens Point. And when they picked up the car, Mr. Ridley said, "I'd like to do something nice for you guys." And they just thought they were going to get a nice handwritten letter or maybe a Masters shirt or something. But he actually sent them two practice round tickets for 2 days of their choosing. I mean, two tickets for two days of their choosing. They could have picked any 2 days, and they picked Thursday and Friday. So it was a neat story.
Really neat story. And that is currently up on Wisconsin.Golf in the main spot. Take a look at that. Even before that story posted, Gary, I think I've gained a new appreciation for Fred Ridley. As I watched him go about his business this week, he, to me, feels like he's become something of a patriarch among the Augusta National members for the game of golf. And I say that because I really believe that, I'm hoping maybe it's wishful thinking, that when we get to the end of the 2024 golf season and look back on the 2024 Masters, that it'll be a launching pad for some harmony in the game. Because I tell you what, there's no question, this is Scottie Scheffler's world right now, and everybody else is living in it. And the guys that are over on LIV, they were able to come back and have a good showing in the Masters last year. They did quite well in some of the other majors. But it was clear to me, and you could tell in John Rahm's face on Sunday afternoon, as he begrudgingly sat there to put a green jacket on Scottie Scheffler, that he's pissed. And I think he realizes now that he has made a mistake. And I think if Liv opens up the pocketbooks to the money that these guys think they deserve for the, you know, for the game of golf, then, you know, let's get it all together. But don't tell me that Liv is helping you do what you have done for the last 15 years or whatever it is on the way up to the top and is helping you stay at that level, because I didn't see it on any of those guys. And Bryson DeChambeau had a nice tournament, but just didn't quite, wasn't able to hang to the end. Tyrrell Hatton, but John Rahm was the guy that I had. You know, this is a guy who went over to Liv, Gary, and I thought was going to rise above the circus act that tour is and be able to come back and play much like Brooks Koepka has the last couple of years without excuses, and that didn't happen. I think this is a tipping point. 1 week after he suggested that Liv go to 72 holes, now it looks like there may have to be more than just that to try to make Liv golfers competitive on the national scene, because even if they get their world rankings points, Gary, I'm not sure that they're going to be in a competitive mindset to keep up with some of these guys that the PGA Tour is producing, i.e. Scottie Scheffler and Ludvig Åberg.
Yeah, that's very well said, Rob. I agree with every point you made there. And the Liv Golf has withdrawn its application or its attempt to get world ranking points. So that's just not going to happen now, period. They saw the handwriting on the wall that they weren't going to get points, and they have officially bowed out of that attempt to get world ranking points. So, excuse me. John Rahm had by his standard, a very poor Masters. He did not play well at all. You could see the frustration on his face on almost every hole. He just, you're right. I guess pissed is a good word for it. He was not in a good mood. And you're absolutely right about Scottie Scheffler. He is far and away right now, far and away the best player in the world. He's been the best ball striker for a couple of years, and now he's found a putter that works for him. And as Brando Shambly said, you know, if he just putts normally, just an adequate putting week, he's going to be at the top of the leaderboard or near there almost every time he plays because he's such a good ball striker.
Well, and I thought the other thing that really impressed me about Scottie Scheffler is simply the way that we're seeing the balance in his life. And I mean, you can't get any more balance than, you know, being on the precipice of being a first-time parent and being ready to leave your craft on the most important week of, you know, one of the four most important weeks of your year, your business year, to go be by your wife for the birth of your first child. And I was fully waiting for that to happen. Even on the back nine Sunday, I thought, well, you know, are we going to see a helicopter swoop in and take him to the, you know, over to Dallas and see this, you know, thing happen? I mean, the guy just approaches the game and approaches what he does and doing it at such a high level. You know, I mean, we can all learn from the way that he has found his approach. He is a nice guy. He is a likable guy. I can see why Steve Stricker was drawn to him for the 21 Ryder Cup and why he was a no-brainer pick in Steve's mind, because he's a lot like Steve, but now he has a couple majors that, you know, I'm sure Steve would have loved to have won back in his career, you know, on the PGA Tour. But, you know, to Steve's credit, I kind of feel like Steve pulled Scottie Scheffler into the limelight. There's no telling maybe where Scottie would be right now if he hadn't played that Ryder Cup. And to me, it's been off to the races ever since he got back from Whistling Straits.
Yeah, I think you're right about that too, Rob. I think that was huge for Scottie. Scottie's always had confidence, but I mean, when somebody puts their trust in you like that, like Steve did in him as a captain's pick, and, you know, sends him out against John Rahm in singles, and he destroys Rahm, basically. I mean, I think he was 4 or 5 up after 5 holes, and he went on to win 4 and 3 in that singles match, and Rahm was, the clear number one player in the world at that time. That just had to do wonders for his confidence. Would he have won tournaments without being in the Ryder Cup? Probably. But would he have won 9 times and 2 Masters? Probably not. I think you're right about that.
Well, it was sure fun to watch him, you know, pull away from a pack, because for a while there, about 10 holes in on Sunday, it was kind of a free-for-all, and he just simply pulled away as other guys folded down the stretch. Gary, as I said, it was a busy week for you. As we work our way back, another cool story that came out of the tournament rounds was the Neil Shipley, the amateur out of Ohio State, graduate student for the Buckeyes, was low amateur, only amateur to make the cut. And all of a sudden on Sunday, we're seeing, I'm getting, messages on Twitter that, about there being a yardage book with the University of Wisconsin logo on it. And sure enough, he had asked his high school teammate, high school friend, Carter Pitcairn, who was on the Badgers roster through the fall, semester, to caddy for him. And a really great photo that accompanied the story that you wrote. You were able to track Carter down and Neil, and just talk about their experience together. And then in the final round, the way things played out, they were paired with Tiger Woods in his 100th round at Augusta National on the last day that Vern Lundquist was calling the action on 16. I mean, it was a day that I'm sure Carter and Neil will never forget.
Yeah, I talked to Carter for a little while, and he was he had a hard time expressing what it was like out there, and I can understand why. You're with maybe arguably the greatest player, certainly one of the top two or three greatest players who ever lived, and you're walking the round with your best buddy, one of your good buddies that you grew up playing golf with, and there's Tiger Woods, and you're all chit-chatting, and Tiger certainly did not have his best Masters. He made the cut, which was impressive. That Friday round in that win was pretty impressive, Rob, but then he just didn't have the stamina, or maybe his ankle flared up or whatever. He didn't make any excuses, but he finished 82-77. But Carter was saying just every shot he hit and every green he walked onto, the people just went crazy, and he said he had goosebumps just being a part of that.
Yeah, I mean, that story's still up on Wisconsin.golf. Carter, I think one of the last recruits that Michael Burson brought in before he stepped down as the Badgers coach a few years ago. And it was just neat. He played a few tournaments last fall, not part of the program. Looks like he might be in the transfer portal at some point. And I'm sure if and when he gets back into college golf, that experience is really going to, I think, pay dividends, because it doesn't beat Sunday at Augusta in the same group as Tiger Woods, whether you've got a caddy bib on or whether you've got or whether you're actually swinging the club. And Neil did quite well for himself, a U.S. amateur champ. And it was really kind of cool to see, Neil Shipley, carry the banner for the amateur contingent. And then to have a Wisconsin connection to it was pretty cool, too.
Yeah, and, Carter did not want to talk about what's going on in Wisconsin. He just didn't want to answer any questions about that. He's not on the roster right now. I don't know what the future holds for him. But apparently there was some kind of falling out there between him and the team, or him and the coach, or however it happened. But a nice young man, and, he probably didn't. He had a couple good finishes. I think he at the Badger invite his freshman year, he finished tied for 22nd, I believe, but did not really play well in the fall. And probably he's going to, I'm guessing now, I'm speculating, he's going to search for another place to play now.
Yeah, he played in three of the first four events, but his best finish was a T63 at the Wind Memorial, and then played at the Badger invite. But struggled. And I think a lot of it is just trying to find out, and we'll talk college golf here in a few minutes, and it's like this at every program right now. They're trying to find the five guys that are going to work in the lineup. And if you aren't trending in that direction, then I think there's some writing on the wall. So, regardless, it was, I think whatever's happening in his collegiate athletic life pales in comparison to what happened this last weekend at Augusta National, being able to hang out with his good buddy and in Neil Shipley, and then to be paired with Tiger Woods. I think that was huge. And then going back, I was drawn to the golf. We talked about it last weekend. You were in charge of the Golf Writers Association of America, the banquet, and had a very prominent role in that. And you had to introduce the Senior Tour Player of the Year, the Senior Player of the Year, Steve Stricker, and I did not have of all the things I should have had on my bingo card, I didn't have Steve Stricker struggling emotionally to get through the speech, but I couldn't tell how close to the to the table were Nikki and Bobby and Izzy, how close Steve was, but he looked at them and that was all she wrote. It was turn on the spigots and here come the teacher.
Yeah, it was the theater type seating, and they were like in the second row in this auditorium, you know, so like 40 or 50 feet from him. And, you know, I introduced him and I walked away and he turned back and looked at me and shook his head like, this is going to be tough. And I went, uh-oh. And he got out about four words and, you know, he choked up. We've come to love that from Steve. He's he wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's such a good family man. And, you know, he had his whole family there. Mario was there and his daughters, Bobby and Izzy and Nikki, and they were all sitting together. And when he looked out at them, he lost it. And it was it's an endearing trait. You know, I think he probably gets a lot of good-natured kidding for that. But when you come down to it, it's really cool that he's that invested and that emotional in something that he does with his family's, you know, loving support.
Well, and even before he got to the part about his family, he was kind of choked up after kind of revisiting, you know, Gary Woodland got the Comeback Player of the Year award, and Gary gave a nice speech. It was a big day that day for Gary. It was the same day as the par three contest where he had a hole in one, and him just being back at Augusta National, because it was about this time a year ago that they discovered that he had a, you know, some sort of, what was it, like a tumor on his brain, and had to have an operation, and now here he is back, and Steve knows all about being on, you know, that end of medical situation and having to fight your way back. So I think if nothing else, you know, you've lobbied for him to come down to accept awards in the past, and he's, you know, it just hasn't fit in his schedule. I think he got a pretty good taste of what the Golf Writers Association of America banquet is all about, because it really does honor some of the great achievements in golf from the last year.
And it's funny, Rob, because Gary Woodland did give a very good speech and very emotional. And Doug Ferguson, the longtime Associated Press sports writer, who knows the Stricker family pretty well because he's covered Steve forever too, was sitting behind the Stricker family. And during as soon as Gary Woodland's speech was over, Steve got up to, quote, excuse himself to, quote, go to the restroom. And either Bobby or Izzy turned to Doug Ferguson and said, he's gone. He's done. Meaning, you know, the emotions had gotten the best of him there, too.
Well, and
I thought that was funny.
And I'm glad that the and that's out there on the Internet, the banquet. And if our listeners are so inclined, they should search for it. I think it's on Vimeo. And the other part that I really – Judy Rankin, I've been a huge fan of for many, many years.
Yeah.
Have really admired her humility for being such a great player in her prime. And when she transitioned to TV, you know, kind of is, you know, much like Dottie Peppers, tried to, you know, kind of blend into the woodwork, so to speak. And, but yet, you know, her perspective on golf has been, you know, going back to, you know, the heyday at ABC, you know, with some of the great announcers, Peter Allis and Jim McKay and that group. I mean, she's phenomenal. And the interview that Grant Boone did with her, I thought was just really, really good. And, you know, women's golf, like women's basketball, is kind of, you know, starting to, you know, capture, I think, a bit of a more of a presence maybe than it has. And I think, you know, when you have a pioneer like that, and I'm sure she was just humbled beyond belief to be honored with the PGA award, and it that was kind of cool. And and then really to listen to some of the great storytellers that won awards from the Golf Writers, you know, anytime you get Alex Maselli behind a mic and some of the other guys that got up there on stage, it was a good night. I hope from your end you felt it went well.
I thought it went well, Rob. Yeah, and speaking of Alex Maselli, I'm told by very good sources, he's never won an award in the Golf Writers contest, and he took first place in column writing, and I'm told when he was informed that he pulled a Stricker and started sobbing on the phone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm talking out of turn, maybe. I shouldn't tell that story, but I have him from a very reliable source that he broke down on the phone and couldn't believe that he had won, which is pretty cool.
And I'm not sure if Steve understands or appreciates Alex like this, but for many, many years, Alex was the voice to Edgerton and Janesville for the Janesville Gazette. Dave Wiedewerd would somehow enlist Alex to be their stringer from some of the major championships for their, and I always thought that was pretty cool to see his byline in essentially what is, you know, Steve Stricker's backyard paper down there in Janesville. So good on Alex's part, and I'm glad that happened. And then last but not least, going backwards for your what seems like it, I don't know, did it seem like a week at Augusta National or a month, Gary? Because when we last talked, McKenna Nelson had just won the drive, chip, and putt contest, and in her age division, and Tatum Oswald out of Beloit finished third in her age division, and then you ran into them or connected with them on that Monday of the when they were at the practice run. Well, you connected with them and the Marquette Golden Eagles. We'll talk about them in a second, but it must have been pretty cool to see the Nelson family and the Oswald family, because tell you what, it was a really, really good showing for those two young ladies, and I bet you they really had a thrill walking the grounds of Augusta National for a practice round.
Nonstop smiles from both young ladies and their parents, Rob. Tatum was collecting autographs on a drive, chip, and putt flag and had about 20 or 25 autographs. She had Scottie Scheffler. She had a bunch of former Masters champions. And, you know, McKenna met Annika Sorenstam. And, yeah, it was quite the weekend for those two young ladies and their families. And they enjoyed every minute of it, as you would suspect.
Well, I tell you, the Masters has certainly, I think, done it right as far as kind of being the launching pad for the golf season. It feels like, you know, the West Coast swing, the Florida swing, it's kind of the appetizers for the golf season. And then we get to the Masters, and now it's, as we were corresponding during the week, now it's full bore golf for the next 6 months, and what a way to get into it. And we should talk about, you did run into Steve Bailey and the Marquette Golden Eagles, who were there. They were coming off of a tournament over across town at the Haskins Award Invitational. And part of that is they get practice round tickets for Monday. What's your vibe on the Golden Eagles? Obviously, they were happy to be at Augusta National, I'm sure. But what are their thoughts as we approach the Big East Championship and kind of where their season's at?
Yeah, you know, it's really, really funny. Coach Bailey, I talked to him beforehand. I said, I know you're going to be at the Haskins. I said, do you guys get practice round tickets? He said, yeah. And I said, well, let's meet Monday. And so we agreed to meet at 11:45 Monday on the first tee, because Peter Malnati, who was in the field, was supposed to play a practice round at that time. And he was a college teammate of Marquette's assistant, Jace Long. They went to University of Missouri together. So I walk up to the first tee about 11:30. I'm standing around. Of course, it's crowded, but I'm looking for the Marquette guys. I'm looking for Coach Bailey, and I spent a half hour up there. Never found him, Rob. And then Steve, later in the evening, because you can't bring cell phones on the course, called me and said, "Where were you?" I said, "Where were you?" He said, "We had our guys all over the place looking for you around the first tee," and I was doing the same. I can't believe that we didn't hook up. So I had to talk to. Yeah, I had to talk to Steve and Aiden Lafferty by phone. And Aiden, I thought, gave some really cool quotes about he's very keen interest in golf course architecture, and he dissected Augusta National and really pointed out some neat things. But, you know, they didn't have the greatest tournament at the Haskins, but it would be great if they could get Boom Sima Rebac, co-medalist last year in the Big East, and he's dealing with the wrist injury. And we had it in the sweet spot yesterday, Rob, that he's still – is out of action. There's no timetable for his return. So if they could get him back in time for the Big East, that would make a huge difference, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they got, you know, good showings. Max Lyons, Aiden Lafferty have played well in his place, holding down the one and two spots. But, you know, three, four, five, you know, really up in the air, in my opinion. Josh Robinson has a lot of potential and has shown great flashes, as has Patrick Adler at times. Mason Schmidtke, you know, being a freshman, this is kind of all new territory for him. So, you know, they, and again, you know, a lot of these schools don't see each other in the same conferences. You know, it's not like, you know, basketball and football where, you know, you've kind of, you know, played each other, you know, head to head, home and away, that kind of stuff going into a conference tournament in basketball or the conference championship game in football. And so I'm not really sure, you know, UConn is usually a, a force to be reckoned with or a thorn in the side of the Golden Eagles. So I'm not sure if they're going to have the maybe the horsepower to withstand them. But, you know, everyone's in the same boat this time of year. You know, you kind of have to go with who's healthy, with who's playing well. And so I think I'm sure for Steve Bailey, it's kind of unusual, Gary, because by this point in the season, he pretty much knows at least the last 5 or 6 years, you know, what the roster is going to look like for the Big East Championship and kind of who's in form. But right now, I think there's a lot of question marks.
I think there are, too. But the one thing I'll say about that program, Steve and his guys, is, Rob, they always seem to rise for the Big East, don't they? I mean, they've won it, what, 3 times under Coach Bailey, maybe 4. They finished second a couple of years ago. They seem to really perform at the end of the season. So let's hope that that happens again this season, Rob.
Well, we know that the Badger men's golf team will be going into the Big Ten Championship in great form. They are coming off of a win on Monday over. On Sunday at the Hawkeye Invitational down in Iowa City. After a pair of 279s in the 36-hole opener on Saturday, they shoot 282 to win by 5 shots over Southern Illinois and TCU. And and then for the second time this spring, not only do they win a team title, but Cameron Huss, the senior out of Kenosha, wins an individual title. We've talked about it many times. I don't know where this program would be had Michael Burson not seen Cam Huss when he did, offered the scholarship, I believe it was sophomore year, before he'd ever qualified for the state tournament. And we look at where Cam Huss is now, and my goodness, to quote Vern Lundquist, I'm compelled to say, oh, my goodness, this guy is really turned into be a great golfer. And not that he wasn't when the offer was made. He showed a lot of promise, but it's just been fun to watch him mature.
It sure has. He's gotten better and better every year. He had a great summer last year, and he's you know, in past years, he's had good summers and maybe not quite carried into the college season, but he certainly has done that this year, Rob. And he's a prime example of someone who maybe was under-recruited. You know, Coach Burson sure found a gem, and the team and Coach Wilson have gotten a lot out of him, and he's gotten a lot out of himself because he's a hard worker. He's got a great head on his shoulders. He really knows his game, and he's gotten better and better every year. And I hope he – you know, waits a little bit before he turns pro. I'd love to see him in some events in the state, Rob, before he does.
Yeah, I think the plan is for him to actually turn, you know, and try to do what Pearson Hunt's going to do and try to play up in Canada. But I agree. It'd be nice to see him maybe take a shot at the USAM, take a shot at the State AM again, and try to get there. And then, you know, USAM is the week before the State Open this year. Maybe make that. But I think he's got that kind of mapped out, so we'll see what happens there. But a lot of things to happen. They have to finish fourth or better to get to the 500 mark, fourth or better at the Big Ten Championship to get to the 500 mark, which is the baseline threshold for consideration for an NCAA regional berth. They were way behind the eight ball last fall after struggling out of the blocks, the Badgers were. So we'll see what happens. Got to give a shout-out. Daniel Oz has come back from a back injury. He finished second in an event as an individual a couple weeks ago, and playing in the five spot this week, finished T17. Behind Cameron Huss. Jacob Beckman has turned into a pretty steady number two at this point. He finished T21. Blake Wisdom, the transfer from Bucknell, has had a really good solid year too, and the final round 70 on Sunday helped seal the deal for the Badgers. And then it's going to be interesting because they're going to play five. Is it going to be Coulter Smith or is it going to be Spencer Turts? Coulter has the most experience, and he played well, you know, for the most part at Iowa City. So I think the lineup for Mike Wilson's pretty set for the Badger women. And Todd Erline, he's got his normal five that he has, but they can bring six and count four. And last weekend, Ava Soleil, the two-time state champion in Division II from Prescott, had a final round 74 in a tournament that helped the Badgers continue to creep up the standings and the rankings. She might be the one that gets the nod. Nobody's really gone out and grabbed that spot, but that was about as good a final round as we've seen out of that individual competitor trying to get in. And I think it was a six play four event that they were in last weekend. Wouldn't that be something if, all of a sudden, you know, Ava Soleil, who's only played in like three events this year, gets a shot at the Big Ten tournament?
Yeah, you know, that format of play six, count four, it helps everybody, but I really think it helps the Badgers, Rob. I really think that one or two of those women who haven't played a lot and have shown some promise, you know, they get a chance now to shine, and I think it might bode well for the Badgers in the Big Tens and going forward.
So we'll keep an eye on that. They're up first this weekend, along with UW-Green Bay at the Horizon League Championship. Again, the Phoenix men have kind of, I think, exceeded expectation. The women who won the tournament last year maybe not quite living up to what we thought was going to happen, even though they did lose a lot from last year. So we will follow them next weekend. A couple things happened today on Tuesday as we record Talking.Golf that bears mention in terms of college golf. And one is that Illinois entered three individuals in the Highland Meadows Intercollegiate, a tournament in Ohio that included Minnesota, which won it. But Pearson Hunt and Jerry G., who are two seniors for the Illini that have not been in, you know, the kind of form that Coach Mike Small probably expected from their senior year. And they finished T4. Pearson Hunt, 68, 67, 72, and Jerry G, 67, 69, 71, to finish tied for fourth at 207. Ben Warrion of Minnesota won it with a 65, 63, 70, kind of ran away with a five-shot victory. Bennett Swavely out of Hudson, 71, 68, 69, to finish sixth. But, Gary, Illinois hosts a tournament this weekend, the Illini Invitational, which is somewhat of a new event. They don't normally host the week before the Big Tens. It'll be interesting to see if Pearson Hunt either gets a shot at the five spot in that lineup or Jerry G, and then if one or the other is able to play as an individual, will that be a qualifier for Big Tens? I don't think either senior, and Jerry G's a fifth year, ever expected to be in a situation with their backs to the wall just trying to scramble to get into, you know, get into the lineup. But that's the kind of program Mike Small has down there at Illinois. And they've not been playing poorly this spring. They've been having a good spring season with a lot of young guys in the lineup. So it'll be interesting this last couple of weeks here to see what happens with Pearson Hunt. And it's very interesting to see because Cameron Huss and Pearson Hunt, contemporaries in high school, you know, one goes to the signature program in the Big Ten. The other goes to a program where he can play right away and be the guy. And now, you know, their paths have kind of taken some interesting twists and turns.
Yeah, that's for sure, Rob. You know, Pearson needed to see some good results and some good scores, so really happy for him that he played well. You know, it would be great if he could nail down that fifth spot for the Big Tens. That's a very competitive program, as we all know. You know, Coach Small usually has a loaded, you know, he's got some international players every year who are really good. That program has turned out so many good players. And, you know, Pearson is not probably – I don't think it's probably safe to say Robbie hasn't had the college career that we all envisioned that he would. He's had a couple of, you know, starts and stops along the way, but we all know how talented he is. The guy's got a ton of talent. So it's going to come out at some point and hopefully soon.
One last thing on the college scene to get to and just to mention, but Division III golf is kind of taking shape. UW-Whitewater women are going to the NCAAs because they won the WIAC. There's no WIAC for men's golf. So UW-Eau Claire has been trying like the Dickens for the last few years to get an at-large berth. And they had a huge showing today at the Visit Florence Intercollegiate in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. They shot a 299 and finished T4, well behind three of the powerful D3 teams in the country, in Carnegie, Mellon, Methodist, and Emory. But what was important about a T4 was they got ahead of Bethel. Bethel struggled, of Minnesota, they struggled to a 316 today, and Bethel was ranked ahead of Eau Claire in the national rankings in Division III for men's golf. And I think there's going to be changes coming to the Eau Claire lineup because there were a couple of guys that really didn't perform maybe up to Coach Darren Skinner's expectations. And it'll be interesting. They go about eight or nine deep in that program, and we might see some changes there too, Gary. But I tell you, that's what makes – I think college golf doesn't get credit for how exciting it gets this time of year because there are so many lineup changes that kind of go on behind the scenes. And it's not because someone, you know, can't shoot the ball from outside or can't throw touchdown passes, can't blitz the quarterback. It's because maybe their putter isn't working, or maybe the swing change they've gone through isn't quite taking hold. It really is a different ball game.
And it's so interesting that, you know, you're in a team atmosphere, Rob, and, you know, you love your teammates. You've been with them if you're a senior, you know, for 3 years, a fifth-year senior for 4 or 5 years, and you love the guys. But every day you got to go out and beat them. You got to beat those guys to secure your spot in the lineup. It's a really interesting dynamic. And then you go to a tournament, you're playing for yourself, but more importantly, you're playing for your team. There's a lot of dynamics that go into that. Not everyone can handle all that. It takes a special player to be able to rise to the top in those circumstances. But it's always fun. You're right. It's always fun to watch what goes on in college golf this time of year.
Well, Gary, we've got less than a minute to go, and I just wanted to mention that we also have guys playing on the PGA Tour. Thomas Longbella is going to get a second shot at the Punta Cana Championship down into the Dominican Republic after Monday qualifying last week. And Tony Romo is going to defend his celebrity title at the Invited Celebrity Classic on the PGA Tour Champions. That's going on this week, Friday through Sunday in Irving, Texas. Gary, you look like you could use a break. You get some rest, and we will talk golf again next week.
Oh, Rob, you nailed it, because